Hi, it's Tony Brisky from Real Ghost Stories Online. Every single day, Jenny and myself do our best to try and create the best possible show for you. But it's not free to do that. We have a lot of hard costs on this end to distribute the show, produce the show, and put it out there for you. So we ask for your help by becoming an EPP, an extra podcast person. We're doing our best to make it worth your while by giving you a bonus episode every single week with some of the best stories we can find. Also, exclusive video content, including our new monthly video feature, Seeing Ghosts, where we examine some of the best ghost photos and discuss them that we get into the show here at Real Ghost Stories Online. All I ask is that if you listen to the show on a regular basis, please consider helping support keeping it on the air. It's only $5 a month, or sign up for a full year at a time and get 1 month free. If you already are an EPP, thank you very much. If you're not yet, please consider supporting a show that you enjoy so we can continue creating it for you. Sign up at realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. And thank you.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Tony and Jenny Brisky joining you once again. This
Hello.
Is where you say hi.
Sorry.
And you greet our audience.
Well, sometimes you keep going.
Shake their hand, Jenny.
Hi.
Say hi. Be nice. It's like you do with your kids, you know. It's like, say hi to the lady. You know.
I know. Yeah.
Hi. That's how kids can be. 855-853-4802 is our phone number, of course, to a call on Real Ghost Stories Online. You can also write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Today's episode, packed with a bunch of calls, your stories, some good ones. I'm really excited about that. Wanted to share this interesting little email that I got through Facebook from one of our listeners. And it kind of ties into our show where we have a lot of bizarre timing, if you will. You know, it, as far as like we have it when we curate the show and put the show together, sometimes the shows, the stories, the order in which they come in, sometimes just kind of meld together into a theme without us creating it. It just happens. It's weird. But it's always been like that. Here's another example of just weird timing with our show. One of our listeners, BJ, writes in, I know it's cliche. I really love this show. I listen when I'm at work and when I'm traveling on the road for work. The event I'm going to tell you about is a piggyback off of another story I heard while listening to the podcast in my car. I was driving to Knoxville, Tennessee, listening to the podcast of a lady who worked at a grocery store where it was believed a girl who had gone missing in her community was buried at the big box department store next door. And the ghost looked a lot like her friend who also worked at the grocery store with her. Where she had an encounter thinking she was talking with her friend when it was actually the ghost when she realized her friend had been in the back the entire time. Well, as I'm listening to this podcast, I enter the county?
I think so.
I enter the county the lady mentions, and the next immediate exit on the right has the big box store and the grocery store side by side, the very ones we were talking about in the episode. I've never been so freaked out in my life. I think the next 10 minutes on the road, I went from cursing to praying and cursing to sitting quietly in a car in utter disbelief. There you go. So he's listening to the episode, and by chance, he happened to be going right by the very location that was mentioned in that episode.
That is amazing, the timing there.
Yeah, I mean, what are the odds? We had something similar to that with a listener. It was a trucker a while back.
A truck driver, yeah.
And he was talking about like, hey, we happen to listen to this different location, but similar type timing going on. Just strange how that that happens. So thanks for listening and thanks for writing in, BJ. We appreciate that. Let's go to our first caller of the day here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to Kelly. Hi.
Yes, sir. My name's Kelly Gannon. I'm from Eastern Kentucky, a little county called Pike County. I'm an underground coal miner. 36 years old, and I have a story I'd like to tell. This started back in 2002. I was in my early 20s, and I just had my first daughter, with my wife, and I was working second shift outside the coal mines, and usually second shift would come out from under the mountain around 10:30, and I'd give them a extra half hour to round out their day with, you know, their payday, give them a little extra time. Well, this particular evening, it was around, I don't know, 10 o'clock at night, 9:30, 10 o'clock, and the mining yard where the equipment was had a workshop, a big old building, and it was just a big straight field. And over the hill, around 200 yards, was the portal to the mine that you went underground in, but you couldn't see it from the office. And the coal would run out and up the mountain on a conveyor belt and dump out into the stockpile. Well, I walked out around 9:30 to the stockpile and was looking around there and turned around and walked back in the trailer. As I got back in the trailer, I'd sit down and look back out over the mining yard there, and I seen lights. Well, I went to go investigate it and see what it was. As I was walking out there, I got closer to the hill that led over into the mine portal, and I look at the bottom of the hill, and I see people walking up the hill. There was five people and a dog, and these were coal miners. Well, I looked at my watch, and it was 9:30, almost, you know, 9:35, 9:40, and I got kind of upset because I thought that was way too early for them to come out from underground. And, you know, I was just way too early. I wasn't going to give them an extra hour. And as I got to looking, you know, it's dark out, and I don't recognize these guys at all. And I'm the only one at this mine's outside. And I don't know who these people are, but they look just as real as anybody else around me. And as they get closer, I notice the guy, you know, the guy on the left was an old man. There was a younger gentleman, maybe he's early 40s, right beside him, and he had his arm on that guy's shoulder, and you could just see them talking to each other, but you couldn't really hear what they were saying. And I looked around for a vehicle because I thought somebody might have been there working on something that I didn't see pull up, but I didn't see any vehicles around that shouldn't have been there. And so I thought maybe somebody's trying to steal something. And the whole time I'm sitting there with my mining hat on, and I got my hand on my side, and this place isn't lit up, it's dark. And I'm just kind of, I'm standing still just watching them. They don't even know I'm there, you know. And as they come up the hill and they're getting closer to the mining yard, I can still see that they're talking, you know, as they're walking up this hill. And just carrying on like they're just having a good old time, you know, finished shift work and ready to go home. And they had their lunch boxes in their hand and everything. And, I'll be honest with you, the closer they got, the more I realized I didn't know who this was. And they get about 20 feet to 15 feet from me. And the old man on the left, we lock eyes. He stops. The gentleman next to him that had his arm on his shoulder had his head over there looking at the old man talking, and he sees the old man looking at me, and he looks to his left at the old man, and he sees the old man staring at something, and he turns his head and looks at me, and as soon as we made eye contact, he pushed his head down toward the ground like I wasn't supposed to be there, like I wasn't supposed to see that. Now, at this point, they're stopped. Everybody had quit walking. We're 15 feet from each other. And now it's just me and the old man staring at each other. And it's a dead eye lock. I didn't move. I didn't speak. And they're just looking at me. Well, this went on for about 35 seconds. Nobody moved. All at once, they start walking to the right to where the stacker belt was. And at this point, I still thought they were real people. And I hadn't said anything. And after they made maybe, I don't know, 10 or 11 steps, the demeanor of them changed. Well, just the appearance of them changed. They went from solid like you and I to a greenish, bluish glow, I guess you would call it. And not 2 or 3 seconds after that, they got like their feet, their legs just kind of like faded in and out. And you could kind of see through them. And all at once, you know, they're just walking. They've changed appearance. And boof, they just turn into this ball of light. And I'm watching it. I haven't moved the whole time. And it goes about 30 more feet into a hillside where the water was coming out of the mines. And I'm standing here in awe, not realizing, you know, I was lost for words. I immediately went back into the office and started, I got sick to my stomach, you know, started throwing up. And I shook it off and curiosity got the best of me and I ran back out there. And I walk over to where that ball went to the hillside. Now, this is in the summertime, so I'm saying maybe, I think it was in July of maybe 2002 or something like that. And I put my hand where the ball went to the hillside, you know, just in that general area. And the outside temperature is about 85, 80 degrees that particular night. And when I put my hand where they'd went to the hillside, that whole area of about a 2.5 to maybe 4 foot area was at least 10 degrees colder than everything else. Now I'm sitting back here, I step back and I'm looking around. I was like, in this, trying to figure out, you know, with common sense what just happened. And I kind of thought maybe somebody was trying to prank me, but you know, this is early 2002 and you know, holographic imaging just didn't exist back then. Not to that extent. And you gotta look, we're up ahead of a holler in the coal mines at this time, so it wasn't nothing like that back then anyway. And I went back into the office, and as I was sitting there, I seen lights coming up the hill again, and by this time it's like 10 o'clock, you know, a little after 10, 10:15, 10:25, something like that. And really, for the next half hour after this event happened, I was just not right. It absolutely just mentally, you know, confused me. And here come the real crew up the hill, the miners that were under the mountain. And everybody left but this one old guy. And he said, "What's wrong with you?" I said, "I think I seen something out there on the hill. And I'm not sure what it was." He said, "You seen them, didn't you?" I said, "Do what?" He said, "You seen them." I said, "Seen who?" He said, "You seen them miners." He said, "We've had several people over the years see them. Apparently, there had been a lot of people killed in that particular SEMA coal, in that coal mines. And the people there had reports all along of, throughout the years of that happening. But for me, I was in my early 20s, and that was the first time I'd really ever seen something that clear and personal. And my great-grandfather was an underground coal miner, and he was killed in the mines. And I seen pictures of him, and that guy, that old man, looked a lot like my great-grandfather. And you got to keep in mind, I'm in my early 20s when this happened. I'm 37 now, and now that I look at it, the boy, the guy in his mid-40s or early 40s that had his arm on the old man that was talking to him coming up the hill sure looked a lot like I do now in my later 30s. And that just gives me chills. It really does. Every time I go underground now, I think about that. I'm thinking maybe one day, you know, maybe one day I'll see my great-grandfather on the other side if something ever happened underground. Anyway, thank you for your time.
I like that call.
That was creepy.
I think that's one of my favorite calls we've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was going through my mind on it is... And it could be completely off base, but what was, like I said, going through my mind on this was the way that he was describing the miners, the way they looked at him.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of were taken aback also by him.
Yeah.
Just as he was taken aback by them. I'm wondering how many haunting cases occur when it is like a time wrinkle thing where they're doing their own thing, they're on their own time, and they suddenly see this guy off in the distance,
mm-hmm.
who's looking like he's in modern clothing or updated, you know.
Right.
Suddenly it's like, well, where is that guy coming from? Like, could this be a case of ghosts, not necessarily ghosts, but two people or three or whatever the total number here was of people, essentially seeing each other in different paths of time in the same plane and thinking the other one's a ghost,
mm-hmm.
and eventually evaporating, but for whatever reason, however the hell that works, it's some sort of wrinkle and they kind of overlap for a second. And it really wasn't a ghost. It was, you know, certainly paranormal, whatever the hell is causing that to happen. But could that ever be the case, I wonder, where it's not necessarily the dead coming back and they're doing their thing. It's some sort of overlapping time thing.
Yeah. Well, I would say... You know, we probably do have some of that happens. It's just amazing to me that we don't have more stories where the ghost is wearing odd types of clothing from the future or
sure.
looks futuristic. I know we've had a couple stories, one about a boy lost in a blizzard,
mm-hmm.
and a futuristic looking person, which this was back at turn of the century,
mm-hmm.
and come to find out, through the story being told, it was somebody dressed in like World War II bomber type
mm-hmm.
attire.
Okay.
So it looked really futuristic. It wasn't something that was around at the time the story took place, but it was like a ghost came back from the future.
Mm-hmm.
I would think we'd have more of that if that were the case, as far as having people see the future people.
Sure.
And it looks like a ghost.
Yeah, you make a good argument there. You just completely killed my theory.
No, I'm not trying to completely kill it. It makes you wonder, though.
Sure. I mean, it was just one of those things that came to mind. I was like, I wonder if that... We haven't really talked about that theory before. We've talked about, like, wrinkle in time, but like this where it's, like, parallel things connecting,
mm-hmm.
as far as people going, yeah.
I really think it's just a classic ghost story.
Sure. You're probably right.
You know, especially since there had been others that had seen
yeah.
that same group of miners.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. If you have any more from that area, please do share. We do. We greatly appreciate that. I was watching a preview earlier, and I forgot what the hell the show is called. It's a date. It's going to be a show on HBO. I believe it's. I can look at not HBO on Hulu. And this is not an advertisement or anything, but it ties into the whole time travel thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let me look it up here quick.
Is it 11/22/63?
I believe so. Yes, it is. 11/22/63. Yes, that's the day Kennedy was assassinated, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So that is the name of the show. And it looks kind of cool. It's kind of back to the futurist feeling show with the president being murdered.
Yeah.
But that's sort of a premise. I believe the premise is, for whatever reason, this guy is able to go back in time and he's supposed to prevent Kennedy from being assassinated.
Okay.
So it looks fairly well done.
Yeah.
Like, as far as the period and suddenly he's back there, I'm kind of excited to see this.
Really?
It's not ghost related, but it's, you know, it's in that genre of, you know, odd paranormal. It looks exciting.
I I just have a hard time getting into sci-fi, and I know that's so ironic considering what we do.
You do realize what we do on the show, right?
But I don't know. I just don't look at this as science fiction.
But you like Back to the Future, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. I think it kind of entertainment.
I don't get into like alien stuff that much, mm-hmm. but the time travel thing has always been something that kind of, you know, it intrigues me, because some of that, we do have stories that kind of correlate into that sometimes.
I think there's an overlap between ghosts and the time issue.
Yeah. Yeah. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Melissa, hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It is Melissa. I've called a few times with some other stories for you guys. I'm an EPP member, and I've listened to everything. I love it. I'm going back and listening to some older episodes from early last year, and there was one where you were talking about a funeral home, and if anyone has died in funeral homes. I don't know personally if anyone died, but I remember when my father died, I took care of everything for my mom, because she was absolutely heartbroken, and I just planned everything for her. And the funeral home had called me. I can't remember what for. There was like a paper that needed to be signed. I'm not sure what it was, but they called me and asked if I could come on by, and I said sure. So I came by, and my dad's funeral had not happened yet. I think it was happening the next day or the day after. And there's like, you walk in, there's the lobby. There's like three rooms, one on the right, one on the left, and one straight in front of you where they would have the funerals. So I'm not sure if my dad was laid out at that point. I don't think he was, or if there was anybody laid out in the other rooms. Well, she said the front office, they had someone in there. If they could take me downstairs, they had a meeting room. And I'm like, downstairs, what else could be down there? And we walked down the stairs, and literally we walked down a hallway where there were caskets. They were empty caskets, but I'm guessing that's where you came to pick out your casket when you were preparing your funeral, or, you know, doing that plan, I guess, that stage of life where you're getting your casket and getting, or you know, I don't know, picking out. I had to pick one out for my dad, but I did not go down there. I flipped through a catalog type thing. So it was very eerie, and there was a door straight ahead, two metal doors, and then there was another door that had a light on to the side, and I'm guessing those metal doors probably went into a cooler, probably the storage area. So she sat me down in this room that was right next door to that other room that had the light on. I'm guessing that's where they prepared the bodies. And I was sitting there, and she said, hang on a minute, I got to run up and grab your paper. So I'm sitting myself, looking out the doorway that I'm sitting in, and there's caskets right in front of me. They were empty, thank goodness, but they were still there. And I was down there for a little while. It was a darker room, but they only had one of those little can lights on in there. They didn't have all the lights switched on, so it was very eerie. And I remember hearing what sounded like a radio. It sounded like a conversation, like a talk show. Like if I listen to your show and I go in the other room, I can hear you and Jenny, you know, bantering, which I love. But that's what it sounded like. It sounded like maybe a radio talk show or something like that. And then it went away, and then it sounded like it came from a different part of where I was sitting. It almost sounded like it was straight in front of me, like somebody had turned on a radio and I couldn't see them. And it was just a really eerie, I almost got like a anxious feeling, like somebody was watching me. I don't know if my dad was down there. I'm guessing he was. His funeral had not happened yet, or his wake had not happened yet. But it was really eerie, and I heard it. It didn't really stop, except for when it changed. The sound seemed to change locations, and then when I heard her coming down back down the stairs, it stopped. And she was gone. It was a good 10 minutes that I was down there by myself. It was very, very eerie. And then she had me sign the paper, and she had a bag, and she said, "These are your father's clothes that he had on when he passed away. He died suddenly of a heart attack. And do you want these?" And they had been sitting in the room with me the whole time. I had no idea they were there. She just kind of reached over and grabbed them. And I remember seeing that bag sitting there the whole time that I was there. It was right across from me. And I just thought, I don't think we're going to want that bag. And I just said no to it. And when I left, I was walking up the stairs, and it almost felt like someone, and she led the way, so I wasn't, there was no one behind me, but it really felt like somebody was trying to tug me to go back down the stairs. It was a very eerie feeling. All I could think of was my dad was down there. I don't know whether his spirit was down there, but that made me think of that. I have not thought about that since that happened, since I heard the story you guys were telling. So I love your show. I love being an EPP. If anybody, if you're not an EPP, sign up to be one. The stories are great all around, but the EPP stories, there are some I go back and I listen to over and over just because I love that feeling, scared feeling. It's awesome. So you guys are awesome. I love your show. Thanks. Bye.
And then there's some that I wake up in the middle of the night going, I wish I hadn't heard that.
Really?
Sometimes. I mean, sometimes you, like, your mind will just get stuck on things,
uh-huh.
You know, and I'll have, like, the most random things that will pop into my mind. And if it's a ghost story or something we talked about, it's typically from an EPP episode.
Yeah.
Just because they are some of the more disturbing.
Disturbing and darker.
Yeah. They're good.
Yeah.
So, anyway. Interesting story there.
Yeah. I think of all places to have something happen, that would probably be one of the creepier.
Sure.
I mean, that's up there with the cemetery haunting.
Mm-hmm.
And you're already uncomfortable, and it's a sad situation, but then to hear ghosts talking around you.
It's one of those bizarre things, especially when it sounds like it could be a rational explained sound,
mm-hmm.
You know, like radio or just people talking.
Yeah.
Where you just go through it like, well, no, that's just this. But then you investigate further, and there's no explanation for where it is coming from.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes it even more eerie. I mean, it's more definitive, I think, when you can just go, oh, hey, that ghost just said something. I just saw that apparition say, and then they're gone.
Yeah.
But when it's like this lingering, because you're like, is this going to continue on, or what's going on here?
Yeah.
That is very, very odd, and I could imagine extremely unsettling. Thank you for sharing that story with us. Of course, the number is 855-853-4802. If you want to be an EPP like she was talking about, you sign up on the website realghoststoriesonline.com. Click Become an EPP. You'll get access to all those bonus episodes, 70-some of those available now, and also bonus video content as well. Seeing Ghosts, episode 1, 2, and by the time this show is put out there, 3 will either be posting around now or will be posting very, very soon. And I have gathered up the ghost images for that.
Okay.
And at the time of this, time we were creating this, and it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's. I think it beats 2 even. And I thought 2 was pretty damn good as mm-hmm. far as the amount of full-bodied apparitions. I'm excited about this one. So anyhow, you get access to all that as well. So lots of perks of being an EPP. And that's what keeps this thing on the air. So if you enjoy listening to us on a regular basis and you'd like that to continue into the future, please consider helping to support the show. That's how we keep doing this thing. Let's go to the caller. Hi, you are on the air.
Hi guys, I started listening, summer, and I only listen while I'm running or driving in the car, never in my house. But anyway, one short story and a longer one. So the short story, when I was in college, I dated a guy who lived in an apartment above a, oh shoot, what's the word? Here I go blanking out. A funeral home. There you have it. And so I would come stay with him on the weekends, and during the week I would drive 90 minutes away to where I had my college classes. So one weekend I was staying there, and I woke up in the middle of the night, and I heard running water coming from the kitchen. And for some reason, I felt like if I woke up my then boyfriend, that he would be mad at me. Like, it felt funny to wake him up. So I was really nervous, and I got up, went out to the kitchen. I didn't see anything, and I just remember feeling cold, and the water was running, and I turned it off, and I went back to bed, and that was that. And I know that water was not on when we went to bed. So that's a short story, and in all my time there, that was the only thing I ever experienced. So longer one, several years ago, must have been close to New Year's time, my older sister called me up and said, hey, can you go over to my house and turn off the dehydrator, as she was going out of town for a couple of days, and she remembered that she had left her food dehydrator on. So I said, sure, I just had to finish supper, and then I would go over. And of course, it being late December, early January, it was very dark out. And my husband didn't want to go with me, and the kids didn't want to go with me, and they were very small. They didn't really push it, but all I could think about was how many times I had teased her about her very old house being haunted. And she never really would admit to it being haunted or not being haunted. And she would start to say stuff several times and never finish. So, anyway, I took my dog with me for security. And I go over there. And, of course, they were busy remodeling the dining room kitchen area. So when I went in, I could not get a light to turn on to see where I was going. But there was a light on in the back of the house, I noticed, in their office. And it was one of those office lamps that tend to get very hot. So I thought to myself, I should turn that off before I leave. So I kind of fumble around in the dark looking for a light switch in the kitchen, and I never really found one. So I got the dehydrator unplugged, and my dog is doing fine. He's with me. He's looking happy. And I walk through the living room towards the office, and halfway through the living room, my dog had been very happy and excited to be in this strange house that he had never been in before, suddenly cowered down and started whining, which, okay, freaked me out, but I was already kind of freaking out about having to go back to the dark house. So I ran into the office, turned off the light, ran out. We ran out through the house, and I drove home, and I thought, well, that's that. I did it. Yay! I was so brave, you know. Whatever. So that night, go to bed, and I'm not thinking about it anymore. And at about 3 in the morning, I wake up, and my dog is whining and scratching at the door like he wants to go out. And this is extremely unusual. This is the only time he has ever done this in the middle of the night. So I'm thinking, is he sick? Does he not feel good? So I get up, and I let him out, and he goes out, and I'm kind of watching to see, you know, if he throws up or what. But he runs outside and gets off the porch, and he just turns around and looks back at the house. But he doesn't want to come. So I'm thinking, well, this is weird, but I'm tired. It's cold out. He can go lay in his doghouse for a couple hours. I'm not going to beg him to come in. So I go back to bed, and my daughter, who was maybe 3 or 4 at the time, had climbed into bed with us at some point, and now she was sitting up in bed looking out the door of my bedroom that looks out into the living room, and she said to me, Mommy, there's a ghost dancing in the living room. And I gotta admit, chills went down my spine, and I looked out into the dark living room, and I didn't see anything, and I looked back at her and I said, "What?" She said, "There's a ghost dancing in the living room." And she was so serious. So I look out again and I do not see a ghost dancing in the living room. But as I'm staring out there, feeling a little freaked out after being in my sister's house earlier, I feel like I can see a hooded, shadowy figure in the corner where there is a bookcase. So I'm trying to rationalize why it looks rounded instead of angular. I'm thinking there must be something on it. But I decide I'll check it out in the morning. And I looked at my daughter, and she's still looking out there with big eyes. And I said, "Still dancing?" And she shook her head yes. And I said, "Okay, well, this is a funny dream we're having. We're going to go back to sleep now." And I closed the bedroom door. And I, in this moment, actually have never felt more terrified. Well, maybe I have, but I don't remember. So anyway, I shut the door, and I lay down, and I close my eyes, and I'm facing the door from where I'm laying, and I can't even sleep. I'm so freaked out about the whole incident, and I'm looking at the door, and then I close my eyes, and one time I open my eyes, and I swear I can see the door start to open. I pulled the covers over my head, and I just started praying. Whatever it is needs to go away, that asking God for protection, and I was just praying. And eventually I fell asleep. So the next morning, when I got up, I opened the door and I laid in my bed and I looked out to the living room and I'm trying to figure out how I could have seen a shadowy figure that looked like it had rounded shoulders and a rounded head, and there was nothing that could make that shape. So that night, as it gets dark about 5-6 o'clock here, that time of year, I went inside of my bed and I looked out into the living room where it was dark and could not see that shape again. And I, for the longest time, could not sleep with my door open. And I refuse, even now, I don't like to go out that door. If it's dark out, I will go out my bedroom the other way, through the bathroom, through the mudroom, to the kitchen, instead of going out that door if it's dark. So, but I've never seen anything again. My daughter's never seen anything again or said anything. And she doesn't even remember the incident. I asked her about it recently. So, anyway, those are
and the call goes away.
That's it.
But it's always disturbing when you have your children that are just very nonchalant. "Hey, Mommy, there's a ghost in the living room." Nonchalantly.
Yeah.
No big deal. And it's just, you know, it's a perspective thing. Because to them, some of this is just, that's normal.
Well, I guess if your child has to see a ghost, one dancing in the living room is probably about as, you know, non-threatening as you can get.
Sure. I completely agree. If you have to pick what they're going to see or do, that would be the one to get to experience.
I think so.
The other night we were having some friends over, and the kids were playing in the basement, and our littlest one, Harper, who has the morbid sense of humor and will probably eventually one day take over the show when we're very old.
Yeah.
She runs upstairs because they're playing dress up, you know, and she loves Frozen and all things like that. And she also loves zombies and graveyards. And she has a little glow-in-the-dark plastic gravestone that she plays with. And all of a sudden, she comes running up the stairs in her Elsa dress-up attire that was, from like Halloween or something. And she has a gravestone affixed to it. And she goes, "Look, everybody, I'm dead Elsa."
Yeah. It's just what you want your three-year-old to do when you're entertaining.
Yeah, it wasn't like, "Look at me, I'm the pretty princess from the Disney movie." I'm dead Elsa.
Dead Elsa.
Let's take something like that and put a nice, sick, satirical twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
She did. I'm so proud of her.
She's exactly like you.
She
and I
is.
Think all of our listeners will understand what that means.
She is.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Ashley writes in, or calls in. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Ashley from Indiana calling again. Honey, I know you said that you like spooky hotel stories, so I've got a couple quick ones I'm going to tell you. I worked at a Holiday Inn in the city I live in for a couple years. And my sister also worked there before I worked there for about 5 years. And I know she's got some spooky stories, and when I talk to her, I'll ask her about them, and I'll call back and tell you guys those stories. A couple things happened to me was I got stuck in the elevator one night. I was working audit, and just stuck in the elevator, and the alarm started going off, and, you know, luckily my night manager, or our general manager was there. And I call from the phone in the elevator, and I tell her that I'm stuck in there, and she works for about 20 minutes to get me out, finally gets me out. And we couldn't figure out, you know, why it had got stuck. And we never figured it out, and it never happened before or after, at least not while I was there. So I thought that was very strange. Not really spooky, but just, you know, just weird stuff like that would happen all the time. And, you know, they did maintenance on it, you know, all the time. So anyway, another story was, we've got this meeting room right off the main lobby. And being a night auditor, you got to do all the cleaning at night, like in the lobby. And so I went in there to clean up the meeting room. And when you would flip on the light, the TV would come on. It was before flat screens, it was those old box TVs, and you know, it would come on. And, you know, the first couple times it happens, it's spooky, but you get used to it. And I asked my manager, and she said, oh yeah, that happens. I think it's in the electrical, you know, something. Because it is an older hotel. And so I asked maintenance, and they were like, yeah, we tried to fix the problem. We couldn't figure it out, and there's no reason why it should be turning on, but it's turning on, and it wasn't anything really scary. It was just something weird. So one night I go in there to clean, and TV had turned on, so I go to turn it off, and the channel changes to the Christian network, and there's a pastor preaching, and the volume turns up. So I stop dead in my tracks, and I'm like, nope. So I get out of the room. I go tell my manager, and of course she don't believe me. So I said, well, you can go in there and turn it off, because I'm not going in there the rest of the night. And sometimes you just get creepy feelings in there. And one time, I was working second shift at this point, and I checked in a woman in her mid-50s, and I remember her. I remember what she looked like. She was wearing a very pretty dress. And it was a dress that, like, a normal woman in her 50s really wouldn't wear. It just kind of stuck out to me. But, you know, hey, teach their own. And she had very long, dark black hair. And, I mean, it was, you could tell she had dyed it. And she had very dramatic eye makeup and very red lipstick on. And she was a nice woman. And she didn't have any luggage. And I checked her in, and she went up to her room. She used the stairs, and she was walking very slowly up the stairs, slower than a normal person going up the stairs. And so she leaves, and she comes back later on that evening, about close to when I'm getting ready to get off, and I see her come in and, you know, tell her hello, and I watch her go up the stairs again, very slow. And she must have sensed me watching her, because when she got to the top of the stairs, that's where her room was at the top of the stairs. And she looked back at me and, you know, smiled at her. I was kind of embarrassed she caught me watching her. And so she, you know, went in her room, and I didn't think about it at all. Until the next day, I'd come in, and come to find out she had killed herself in that room. And, yeah, my heart just dropped when I heard the news, and I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. I mean, I believe I was the last person to see her alive. And that that really stuck with me for a while, and it bothered me for a little bit. And after she died in that room, the lock for the door really wouldn't work. You could stick the card key in, and it wouldn't work. You'd have to use an actual hard key. And we had to place it out of order because we had so many issues with it. And one of our guys that was working the night audit, he would pull doubles on the weekends, and he would sleep in there in between double shifts. And he left. I relieved him in the morning, and he left to go home, and he called me about an hour later saying he left something in the room. And he said, you got to go check it out. You got to go see if I left this thing in there. So I'm like, I don't want to go in there. And so eventually I have to go in there, and I run in there, check, see if it's in there, and there it is. And I run back out, and I'm so scared. I'm so nervous. And he was creepy. And I should mention, you know, the way they found her, when they found her the next day after she died, the head housekeeper told me that she was laid out on her bed. She'd used pills, and her hair was laid out, like her dress was there, her still on, you know, and she looked very peaceful. So it kind of comforted me that she'd went peacefully. And so I thought that was creepy, that lock never worked after she died in that room. Kind of bothered me, and I never went in that room after that again, never. Never would. And the housekeepers, they didn't want to go in there to clean it. I don't blame them. So, yeah, I mean, those are my stories. Just wanted to, you know, share a couple quick ones with you. My sister, I think she has a few. I'll have to call her and ask her about them and call you guys. And if you guys want to hear them, I'll tell them. So, yeah, have a great day, and take care.
Can you put that on your hotel request when you check into a hotel? I want to make sure the room I'm in, no one has died in.
I don't know if you can.
I wonder if that's like ever notated, you know, like on the computers when you're checking into the people behind the desk.
I wonder if they keep track or keep a log of which rooms have had fatalities.
I would think somewhere in the hotel archives, they would. It may not just be on the check-in screen.
Yeah.
Like, oh, would you like an extra pillow? The last person that had the extra pillow died. You know, it's probably not quite that easy. But I wonder, especially when you check or you book a hotel online, where sometimes it'll have the section "Any other requests?"
Mm-hmm.
And it's just blank. Yes, make sure I'm in a room that no one has killed themselves in or has died in or nothing. You know, the police haven't been called there for any weird ritualistic reason. Just this huge laundry list of shit.
Yeah.
They would probably go, oh, sorry, we can't honor your reservation, sir.
I can't guarantee that.
That's not going to, it's not going to happen. I don't know. It'd be, I don't know. I'm wondering.
I'm sure they've had people ask that before. Some front desk person somewhere has had to deal with that question.
Someone's going to answer that.
Yeah.
I'm sure. So let us know. Has anyone, number one, ever asked you that? And then number two, can you honor that if someone does request that?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious. So let us know, anyone out there who may have knowledge of that. One more call for today. Hi.
All right. My grandmother's family is very rich in history. My three times great-grandfather's name was Charles Spener, was a Supreme Court Justice of Louisiana in the 1800s. And the president of the Confederate States, Jefferson Davis, died in their home in New Orleans in 1889. Now, the bed made its way down to my grandmother, and as a young child, we were told, you know, oh, Jefferson Davis died in this bed. I did not know who he was or what he looked like at all. You know, I was only maybe 3 or 4 years old when I was told this. And all my cousins and my siblings, all, you know, stayed away from this bed. And so what ended up happening is one night I fell asleep, and I think it was in that bed. And I had this dream of a man. And, you know, he was an older man, you know, but he was dressed old-fashioned, you know, late 1800s, hundreds, so very old-fashioned. You can tell he was very wealthy. And, you know, I did not know who he was. And I woke up, thought nothing about it. And that day, actually, I asked my grandfather, I believe, what did he look like, and he showed me a photo of Jefferson Davis. And when I saw that photo, it turned out to be the man in my dreams. Now, that was maybe 15, 16 years ago. I'm 20 now, so I was like 4 or 5. And the bed is out in possession of my aunt and uncle. And it was very strange. It was very strange knowing that this man who was like a president, who like thought something so horrible, died in a bed that I slept in when I was, so young. And it was passed off from my family member to family member to family member. And I ended up sleeping in that bed as a child whenever I would go visit my grandparents. And it always caused me some strange feelings, whenever I saw that bed. I still see it when I go and visit my aunt and uncle. I still see that bed and think, that a president died, but he was fought for the wrong reasons. It just really screws with your mind. Thanks.
That's quite the guest bed.
That is quite the guest bed, and I did fact check where Jefferson Davis died, and if his three times great grandfather is who he says he is, that's true. And I'm betting that there's some museum somewhere that wants that bed.
I can imagine you can make a pretty penny on that bed.
Yeah, that'd be one way to get rid of a haunted item and profit from it.
There'll be one. big family feud at the point of when that bed goes up. Who wants the furniture?
Yeah.
Who wants the Jefferson Davis bed?
I bet a lot of people in that family would be like, I don't really want it.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. Creepy story, though. That's, God. That's a good one. That's that beats a lot of bunk bed stories.
Yeah.
I have to say. So thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And if you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP extra podcast person. Get access to 70-something bonus episodes of the show. Lots of them up there for you to enjoy and binge away on. Plus exclusive video content and more. Lots of great extras when you help support the show and keep it on the air when you become an EPP. Sign up for realghoststoriesonline.com, and thank you in advance for doing that. And if you already are, well, thank you. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.